Well, we're going to be looking at some of the verses here in Paul's letter to Colossians. And the question I want to ask you this evening is, as we start a new year, well, it's kind of really not a new year anymore. We're already 2 weeks into it, aren't we? Or almost 3 weeks into it. What are you setting out to pursue this year? What are you setting out to pursue? What are your goals for the year? What are you aiming for? What are you hungry for? Paul, when he wrote this letter, he had a goal, verse 2, my purpose or my goal. So when he was writing this letter to the church at Colossae, he was writing to them because he had a goal for them, he had a purpose for them. So let me ask you, what is your purpose this year? What are you setting out to achieve? What do you really want? I used to ask that question all the time when I was younger. I remember back in, it was probably the year 1998. Some of you weren't born in 1998, were you? Were you born in 1998? You weren't born in 1998. The rest of you probably were. 1998, I remember asking that question, what was I pursuing? And I think in 1998, I was pursuing money and really hungry for it. And here's a really interesting thing. I think in 1998... Between the years, I've got to have to check with my parents, probably. Between the years of 1998, possibly the year 2000, I was pursuing money, but I think I'd accumulated quite a lot of it. Probably about £15,000. But actually, within 2 years, it all gone. It all gone. It's incredible, isn't it? You can pursue something and you can set out to achieve it, and I think literally within 2 years I had accumulated £15,000. I'd have to ask my parents, and it had gone, just like that. And if you asked me at the end of the 2 years, show me your £15,000, show me your money, show me what you've got. The great irony was I actually had nothing, literally had nothing, and I probably, in that year, could not remember what I had to show for it. Sometimes we can pursue something, and actually at the end of it, we actually have very little to show for it. And that's the complete opposite of what Paul wants for the Colossians. He wants them to pursue something. He wants them to be hungry for something. He wants them to have something and to never lose it. We're going to sing a song at the end of this sermon. One of the verses says this, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. In him there dwells a treasure all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. Here's something that Paul wants to write to the church in Colossae about. Here's something that he wants us to know about. A treasure that matchless grace can make yours. And if you have it, then you've got everything to show. If you have it, then nothing else can compare to it. And this treasure is Jesus. This treasure is Jesus. I didn't have Jesus didn't have this treasure in the year 1998 to 2000, but I did later on. And in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, this is the theme of Colossians. This is the theme of the letter. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Here's the thing, that the theme of the letter. Paul's trying to say to the Colossians, listen, you've been given this treasure. You've received Christ Jesus as Lord. You've got it. You've got him. And now that you've got him, don't want anything else. Now that you've got him, continue in him. Now that you receive Christ Jesus Lord, continue to live in him, continue to walk in him. Don't move away from Christ Jesus as Lord. Because in Christ, there dwells a treasure all divine. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. This is his goal. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, in Christ, there's wisdom and knowledge and there's treasure. There's nothing greater than that, because it says, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures. All. There's nothing beyond him. There's nothing greater than Jesus. There's nothing greater than having Jesus. You might think this evening, do you know what? What do I want this year? Maybe, actually, I want 15 grand. But you know what? 15 grand is nothing compared to having Jesus. You might think, oh, do you know what? I don't want 15 grand. I just want a job. But actually, there's nothing compared to having Jesus. Because in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You might think, or my dad might think, he's in hospital this morning. He collapsed this morning. 999 comes out, and the ambulance is there, and he's still in hospital. Last thing he wants to be. But you might think, oh, I don't want money. I don't want a job. Actually, I want my health. I want my health. But actually, there's something even greater than your health. It's having Jesus. Because in Jesus is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's nothing greater than him. And in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul is saying, I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea. He's struggling for them. He wants those people who are living there at that time to know Jesus and to have Jesus. And he hasn't met them. And in one sense, he could have been writing to us. He could have said, well, I haven't met those at Laodicea, and I haven't met the bunch of people who are sitting on the 21st of January in the year 2018 in Clydach, in Bethel. But I would like to struggle for those that they would know Jesus. And you ask that question, what's so special about Jesus? Listen to Charles Wesley in his song. He says, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Oh, for a thousand tongues, as if Wesley can't describe it in one tongue. He needs a thousand of them. It's indescribable. When you think of Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. It's indescribable. Think of John Newton when he wrote Amazing Grace. This is what the last verse says. When we've been there, he's talking about Christians being in heaven, in the new heavens, the new earth, and being there for eternity with Jesus. And this is what he says in the last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Do you know how it finishes? We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. In Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you know what? Not even 10,000 years are enough to sing his praise. It's vast, you know? It's beyond our comprehension. And Paul wants the church, Paul wants people to know Jesus. You know, tonight, I don't want anything else for you. I really don't want anything else for you apart from to have Jesus. So, look at verse 6 of chapter 2. It talks about receiving Jesus. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, what do you want this year? God wants you to have Jesus. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's no one greater than him. So, how do you receive him? The Colossians received him, but how do you receive him? Have you ever made a job application? You're sitting there applying for jobs, and the idea of doing the job application is because you want to receive the job, yeah? You write your job application up and you give all the descriptions about yourself and you say, well, here's my name, here's my address, here's my qualifications. And you're trying to match up what you are with what the person wants or the employer wants. I remember job hunting and I put in 21 applications. I had 20 rejections because I wasn't a match. I wasn't a match. I was trying to describe what I was like to receive the job, but it didn't happen. See, if you had to write an application and an application to receive this treasure, to receive Jesus, what would you write on your application? What would you write on your application to receive this matchless treasure that you can't even get your head around because it's so vast and it's so indescribable? You might say, in order to receive Jesus, in order to receive this treasure, well, I come to church. Or I'm a good person, or I've been baptized, or I've been christened, or I'm a nice person, I'm not a bad person like so-and-so. Or I'm religious. Or I pray several times a day. Or I give money. What kind of things would you write to qualify you to receive Jesus? And a bit like any job application, you fill it in. And then you're waiting, aren't you? You're waiting to see if you got the job. You're waiting to see if they're going to call you. You're waiting to see whether you get an interview, or you're waiting to see whether you get a look in. You're waiting to see whether you're just one of five, or one of 1,000, or one of 10,000 applicants. You're waiting, aren't you? And you're waiting to wonder, and you're anxious sometimes, thinking, have I got it? Have I not got it? But you see, it's wonderful, the gospel. There doesn't need to be any anxiety over whether you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, whether you can receive this treasure, because the Bible says you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't try hard enough for it. You can't try and be a good person. The Bible says actually we're sinners. And there's nothing that we can do to earn God's favour. There's nothing that we can do to undo our sin. There's no money that we can give to charity to earn God's pleasure. You can't give £15,000 and say, well, God will give me this treasure and God will let me into heaven. There's nothing that we can do to receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Why? Because it's free. Because it's free. Isn't that staggering when you think about it for a moment? There is nothing or no one greater than Jesus. And in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And how much does it cost us? It's free. For God has paid the price. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And Jesus came to this world and he lived the life that we can never live. He did everything right. He never did anything wrong. And he went to a cross and he died a death he did not deserve. And he did that for sinners like you and me. And the Bible says if we trust him, then he gives us himself. As we heard from Nigel this morning, there's the forgiveness of sins. He wipes our sin as far as east is from the west. He cleanses us. He forgives us. He makes us friends with God. And we receive Christ Jesus as Lord. And it's free. Grace is free. It's a gift. And if you're wondering tonight, well, this year or this day, how can I receive the greatest gift? How can I receive something that's worth far more than money or my health? How can I receive Jesus? The Bible says it's free, because it's been paid for by God himself. And my friends, tonight, if you have Jesus, if you've got this treasure, Jesus in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you might not have your health. You might not have money. You might not have friends. You might not have this and that. But if you have Jesus, then you have everything. Then you have everything. Peter and John were going up to the temple, and they met a beggar. And there was a beggar who was there every day at the temple courts, at the gates, and he was begging. And Peter, in chapter 3 of Acts, when he saw this beggar saw Peter and John about to enter into the temple, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get some money from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Here is a man who thought he wanted money, but actually when he received Jesus, he received something far, far greater. And he was jumping, he was leaping, and he was praising God. You see, my friends, there is nothing better than having Jesus. And that's what Peter and John gave this man. They gave him Jesus, the very presence of Jesus. My friends, if you're a Christian here tonight, you can't keep Jesus to yourself. You can't keep Jesus to yourself. It's a bit like Meg saying, you know, we've got all these students in the Christian Union. You've got all these people. Sometimes we're lazy. But my friends, we can't keep Jesus to ourselves. He is the pearl of greatest price. There is nothing that compares to him. People might want money. People might want our friendship. People might want their health. And that is good things to have, don't get me wrong. But we need to give them this treasure. We need to give them Jesus. Receiving Christ Jesus, Lord, the verse continues. Continue to live in him. Just as the Colossians receive Christ Jesus as Lord, they're to keep close to Christ. They're to continue to walk in him, to live in him. They're not to get sidetracked. They're not to get distracted. They're not to want other things. Sometimes you can become a Christian and then you can think, well, I've received the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to heaven. I've got a new life. Sometimes you can then want other things. But Paul's saying, look, if you've got Jesus, then continue to want him. Because if you continue in him, you'll be strengthened in the faith. If you continue in him, you'll be overflowing, and you can be overflowing with thankfulness. You see, if we keep close to Christ, if when you become a Christian, you keep close to him, actually you find that in Christ is joy and happiness and satisfaction. My friends, don't get me wrong, I'm not promising that if you become a Christian, everything will work out well. I'm not promising perfection. But Jesus does promise contentment. Jesus does promise contentment. Jesus does promise that you can be joyful with however much you have or however little you have. You can have this contentment. You can have a relationship with God that is worth far more than your money and your health and your friends and social media will offer you. Keep close to Christ, for in him you'll have joy, and in him you'll have fullness of life. And sometimes, if we ever ask that question and we wonder if our Christian lives aren't quite as joyful as we might want, we just need to ask that question. Are we keeping close to Christ? Have we maybe got sidetracked or distracted and we're seeking after earthly things rather than Christ himself? Receive Christ Jesus, Lord. It's free. It's been paid for by God. And then keep close to him. Keep walking in him. Let me try and finish with a couple of things to think how this might help us. It really helps us personally, doesn't it? Because personally it helps us, because it challenges us as to what we want. It challenges us to what we want for others. Now, most of you know my twins, Stefan and Jed, they're both very different. They're both, if you ask them, well, if you ask them, they don't reply to you always. But if you ask them and they did reply to you, what do you want? They both want different things. They're both very different. Zephyr is very excitable. He's on the go all the time, whereas Jed is, he's probably a bit stubborn, I think. Actually, no, they're both a bit stubborn. But they're both quite very different, and you can see the differences in this. Jed has learnt to say the word no. Jed, do you want this? No. Zephyr hasn't quite got the hang of it yet. But it's amazing how habits, personal habits, start off at a very young age. They start off at a really young age. When we're going out, we get the coats. Zephyr gets all excited. Zephyr, come and put your coat on. So I take the coat, and he's standing there, and he's putting his arms up, and he's getting his hand into the right sleeve, and he's getting the right sleeve, and then he's trying to do the buttons, and if you don't do the buttons, he gets really irritable because he wants to do the buttons. So Zephyr's ready to go. Jed, put your coat on. Jed comes. Coat. And Jed just stands there. Hands? No. Other hand? No. Just stands there. You see, if I say, who wants a snack? Jed's the first one there. He knows exactly where to go. He pretends as if he doesn't know how to put his coat on, but he doesn't really want to go out. But if I say snacks, then he's there because he knows exactly what he's going to get. It's his habits have formed already. He's got into a routine which he's formed this habit of personally what he likes and what he doesn't like. And he's very quick to do the things that he loves. But when it comes down to put your coat on, he's like, no. Habits just develop as we get older, don't they? What do we want? It becomes a form of habit, doesn't it? What do we desire? It becomes a form of habit, doesn't it? What do we want for others? Well, it depends really what our habits are like. And you know what? Sometimes I wonder if we're unwilling to change our habits for the sake of the gospel. Here is the greatest treasure that anyone could have. Are we willing to change our habits so that others find this treasure? Let me just talk about one thing, and you can apply this in whatever way you want. Say, for example, food for thought. Wonderful opportunity for somebody to hear this treasure, to hear about Jesus. And you're thinking, well, I am free on Thursday, but you know what? I've got my habits. I go shopping on a Thursday. I can't change my habits. I do this on a Thursday. I can't change my habits. But you see, the Bible challenges us. If he is the greatest treasure anyone can possess, well, actually, my friends, we need to be willing to change our habits so that others can hear about him. We need to be willing to kind of look at our routines and tinker with them and say, well, what can I do? What can I change in order that others can hear about Jesus? I don't do this and I don't do that, or I don't know this. Well, should we change our habits? Should we do something different this year? Should we join a club this year? Should we give up a couple of hours of watching the TV this year? Should we stop reading books that prevent us from spending time with people? Should we change our habits for the sake of the gospel and of others hearing about this treasure? You know, FM Zero is an organization that works to share the gospel with Jesus. UCCF, as we heard from Meg, is an organization that helps students here to reach people with the gospel. And I remember when I became a Christian, I went along to something that the university ran, and it was there. but somebody invited me. It was there that somebody did something out of the ordinary. It was there that something changed and they did something that was difficult. It was there that people made the time when they didn't really have the time to get to know me. It was there that people took the time to answer my questions. And it was there that I found this treasure. What about ministry? Maybe you're in a ministry in the church. Maybe it's a ministry on a Sunday. Maybe it's a ministry on Tuesday or Thursday. What ministries are you involved with? How does this help us to receive Christ Jesus as Lord and to not be sidetracked? Well, it's there in verse 28, isn't it? If there's nothing greater than Jesus, in verse 28 it says, we proclaim him. We proclaim him. You see, we're not here to teach people about being nice or being religious or about meetings. We're here to proclaim him. And it's good, isn't it, as we start the year, as we think about the ministries we're involved in, and ask yourself, well, what are you proclaiming? What are you proclaiming? What is Sunday school proclaiming? What is Adventurers and Discoverers proclaiming? What is Oasis proclaiming? What are we proclaiming in our church? Are we proclaiming him? Because there's nobody greater than he. I remember when I was in university as a Christian, I remember in the Christian Union, we'd often have various discussions. We'd often have various discussions saying, well, do we do this or do we do that? Who do we get to speak? We'd often get sidetracked. We'd often get sidetracked and we'd often get sidetracked from what was the main thing, is to preach him. Because in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's not get sidetracked this year with little things, but preach Christ. And then on a grander level, on a cosmic level, whatever little things or big things that you might think are going on in your life right now, and I be honest, there are little things and there are big things that are going on in all our lives right now. The song that we're going to sing at the end says this, oh, that my soul would love and praise him more. On a great big level, there's a day coming when that more is coming. That not only do we read about Jesus, not only do we experience Jesus in our lives, but we'll get to be with him. We'll see him face to face and we'll be with our treasure forever. Isn't that exciting when you think about it? When you think about all the small things, all the big things that go on in your life, that you'll be with your treasure. You'll be with Christ forever. For some of you, maybe you've been asking this question and as we go on, let me close by asking this question. Well, you can say, Paul, you've been telling me all night, receive Christ Jesus as Lord. You've been saying to me, he's the treasure. You've been saying to me, keep close to this treasure. Don't get sidetracked, you know, to stay with Jesus. Don't get sidetracked. You've been telling me all night, well, he's treasure. There's nothing greater than him. But why is Jesus treasure? Why is Jesus the pearl of greatest price? Why is he more amazing or more important than anything or anyone else? Why is he all? Let me tell you why Jesus is treasure. He alone can rescue you. He alone. He alone can give you life. He alone can give you eternal life. He alone can provide you satisfaction. He alone can give you joy. He alone. There is no one else that has come to this earth from heaven and has taken on flesh. There is no one else who has done everything right and never done anything wrong. There is no one else who's ever died on a cross, not for their sin, but for the sin of others. There is no one else that has been raised to life. There is no one else who is in heaven right now. And there is no one else that is going to return one day apart from this Jesus. He alone. Why is Jesus all? Because he alone can rescue you and save you. He alone. No other religion can save you. No money in the world can save you. No friends in the world can help you. He alone. I remember when I started the sermon, I said, oh, I thought it was 15 grand or something like that. There was a backup. There was mum and dad. Mum and dad coming along and sorting all my problems out. But you know what? There's no backup for any of us. There's no backups. There's no one that we can turn to save us. He alone. And my friends, if you're somebody who's looking this year or looking even today for the joy or satisfaction, or you're looking at your goals and you know that actually they're not gonna please you, they're not gonna last. Well, if you come to Jesus, if you come to the cross, if you come and repent of your sin, if you come and say sorry for looking for treasure in all the wrong places, if you really come, if you really seek God, he will forgive you. He will give you a new life. And then he alone will keep you today and forevermore.